Second reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 30. Listen now for a word from God. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon, they had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Amen. All fall, I have been eagerly anticipating the arrival of a new television series on Netflix called The Crown. Has anyone seen it? Or okay, a few other folks. Fantastic. I lost track of time and realized that it dropped on Friday, just this weekend. It's a historical drama depicting the rise and at least the early reign of Queen Elizabeth II. Don't ask me how many episodes I've watched already this weekend, because it's a rather embarrassing number. That said, there was a touching scene during the first episode towards the end I'd like to share. Princess Elizabeth, as she is still at the beginning of the series, she's with her father, King George VI, and he's becoming more and more aware of his own mortality, even as he is actually kept in the dark about the condition of his health. Consciously or not, he understands that he needs to begin to prepare his daughter for the role she will one day play as sovereign. So one day during the Christmas holiday, he invites her into his office to talk to her about his daily routine, the things he does as king. And pointing to a stack of papers in the royal inbox, he explains to her, "Everything they want me to know, they stick on the top. Everything they'd rather I didn't, they tuck away at the bottom. Which is why the first thing I do when no one is looking is this." As he flips the stack upside down and slams it on the table. It's a very practical moment of education for the future queen. As their meeting continues, the king also tells the princess that he would like for her to be his representative on the next year's royal travels throughout the empire. He is giving her the opportunity to learn through experience what her responsibilities will be when someday, sooner than she realizes, she will take the throne and wear the crown. Her education and preparation, her father ensures, includes both words of knowledge and wisdom and experiences. Jesus' own grasp of this pedagogical balance is demonstrated in our reading today. Early in the gospel, this is appearing, just after he has called together this ragtag assortment of disciples, he gets right to the task of providing them both words and experiences that they will need to be his representatives in the world. Humbling himself in his spirit and in his location, he came down to a level place with a crowd of named and unnamed disciples and the multitudes that now gather wherever he goes. The people around him are straining to hear his voice and his vision for the kingdom of God, and they are clamoring for his touch so that they may be healed. I imagine Jesus walking among those who have gathered, touching people gently, looking into their eyes as he taught them, as he blessed them. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are you who weep. Oh, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you and defame you. Blessed are you, he says to this crowd of people who are really used to being called anything but blessed. Some might have been laughing and scoffing at Jesus as he said these things. After all, the cultural wisdom of the day was that wealth was a sign of God's blessing. Poverty was a sign of God's punishment. Health and wholeness are proof of God's love, and disease and infirmity prove God's condemnation. So who was this guy who is saying the exact opposite? But only the rich would have been laughing. The poor, the outcast, the lonely, those excluded and left on the fringes of society through no fault of their own may have wept for joy, receiving Jesus' words like long gulps of water after trudging through the desert. It was the good news they craved. It was the promise of new life they had hardly even dared to hope for. And as we consider this passage of Scripture while observing All Saints' Day, I can't help but hear it as an education in sainthood, in the broadest sense of the word, a training manual for discipleship. In our tradition, we don't have a formal process for naming official saints of the church across history. We don't hold that name and a title for a select few whose miracles can be counted, but instead we count as saints all those who move through this life with faith and compassion, generosity and grace, those whose lives and words have pointed us toward Jesus and exemplified his way in the world. In our tradition, saints are the people who touch our lives with the touch of Jesus. Saints are the people who bless our spirits with the blessing of Jesus. Saints are the ones who love all of creation with the love of Jesus, indiscriminately, graciously, and without end. Saints are the Stephen ministers and others who offer care in official and unofficial capacities in this church and really every church. Walking with those who grieve, offering a steady hand to those whose lives have been turned upside down. Saints are the peaceful protesters and prayers at Standing Rock Reservation who are calling for the care of creation, the protection of clean water, and justice for the poor, the reviled, and the neglected. Saints are the teachers and volunteers in our Sunday school classes and adult education discussions who share the words and teachings of Jesus with children, youth, and adults. Saints are the elders and deacons who submit themselves to a ministry of servanthood on behalf of the body of Christ. And then saints are our own loved ones. Friends, parents, grandparents, siblings, spouses, partners, children, mentors, all who have witnessed to the power of a personal relationship with Christ, so that we too would be drawn in to seek him out ourselves. Saints aren't any more perfect than the rest of us, because really, saints are any of us. As we are led by the Holy Spirit to reflect the love of Jesus to those around us. Saints are all of us as we consider and answer the call of Jesus to carry his vision into the world. The vision that Jesus lays out in this part of the Gospel of Luke through his words of blessing and woe and his actions healing those who would have been thought of as cursed is a vision that calls for a radical reversal of the way we usually think, especially the way we think about well-being and privilege. Instead of going to extremes to stockpile our status and power and wealth as Jesus' disciples, we are called to go to the opposite extreme, to share with those who have no say, those who are forgotten, the populations that are crippled by poverty. According to Jesus' vision, those who are poor can have the riches of a kingdom. Those who are hungry can be filled. Those who weep can be filled with joy and laughter. Those who are hated and excluded can feel the love and acceptance of community. And the disciples in his name, the saints we long to be, are called to make that vision a reality. To do so means looking at who we choose to talk to and who we choose to ignore. It involves examining the places we work to see that all workers are treated fairly and humanely. It means thinking about the fields and courses of our study, not just with an academic mind, but with minds of and hearts of faith. It means structuring our own priorities and the priorities of our church around activities that empower and benefit others. As those who are called to carry Jesus' teaching into the world, we must reach out to others with Jesus' touch. We must offer his words of blessing and his words of warning. For this is the training we have received. This is the way of the saints. And this is the call to the church. Amen.